CBS News Brief. Severe weather swept parts of Texas a night after at least five people were killed by a tornado that swept through Greenfield, Iowa with 136 mile-an-hour winds. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The atmosphere has just been charged up and it's been all over the country. It's been in the Northeast. It's been in the South. It's been in the plains. Usually this time of year, it's the plains that get absolutely targeted, but we've seen these storms roll all the way across, and that has been something that's been unique.
At least nine people killed when a stage came crashing down at a political rally in Mexico. The BBC's David Willis.
The incident occurred at a baseball field near the northern Mexico city of Monterrey. High winds are thought to have caused part of the stage at a campaign event to collapse.
Former Republican presidential hopeful Nikki Haley's made her choice.
I will be voting for Trump.
She says she believes the former president will secure the southern border and has the backs of U.S. allies. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A U.S. House committee takes up the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act this week. Parents of children harmed by social media say greater protections are badly needed and long overdue. Deb Schmill's daughter died of an accidental overdose after she was bullied online.
It's going to be very upsetting to the parents, to so many people in this country who want to see this happen. They want to see big tech regulated. They don't want to see kids dying every day.
Tech companies are fighting sweeping change, citing free speech rights. All over Wisconsin, this year's Click It or Ticket campaign is underway. Memorial Day weekend is our unofficial start of summer, and every year, agencies and departments increase patrols around this time. All drivers and passengers are required by Wisconsin law to wear seatbelts while they travel. Click It or Ticket runs through June 2nd. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media.
Packers wrapping up OTAs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Yeah, the Packers wrapping up their first week of OTA practices today. They'll be back at it next week after Memorial Day. They had a rash of torn pectoral muscle injuries in the weight room. Right tackle Zach Tom, tight end Tucker Kraft, and even Matt LaFleur suffering torn pec muscles while bench pressing, each requiring surgery.
Yeah, Tuck's going to be out until training camp. You know, hopefully he's back by training camp. If not, it should be early on. He's on the Matt LaFleur plan right now.
The All-NBA first team announced, and for the sixth time in a row, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo making the list. Baseball, Brewers losing 1-0 last night in Miami in a pitcher's duel that was over in an hour and 57 minutes. Willy Adames says he had a closed-door meeting with Pat Murphy.
Me and Murph, we had a really good conversation for like 20 minutes. I told him, I said, you know, like, I've been great mentally because I've been hitting the ball hard. It's just like you say, you know, they haven't been dropping, but if you lose, it makes it worse, you know?
Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 55. Tomorrow, few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high of 71. On Saturday, sunshine, high of 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Farming roots. It's all we know. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Heard the buzz of a lot of chainsaws yesterday. A lot of trees down after that storm and plenty of buildings as well. Welcome in on a Thursday, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. So appreciate all of you that talked and text your way towards rainfall reports or weather updates. You know, to a large extent, we escaped without a lot of damage in Wisconsin agriculture. The whole team yesterday was calling our apple orchards, our vineyards, our specialty crop folks and receiving pictures of barn damage that was done. But, you know, overall, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. Did pick up a lot of rain, though. Frank up by Elroy's, an excellent example, told me he had 3.25 inches of rain and small hail by the end of the storm. Just short of 2 inches in the Friendship area by the time it was all said and done. Mark in Fitchburg on the west side of Madison had about 1.8 inches of rain. That's a lot to deal with, but guess what? More rain on the way. Not today. Today should be beautiful. Should see partly sunny skies and mid to upper 70s are expected high. Then tomorrow afternoon thunderstorms redevelop, 78 or so about our daytime high. Saturday back to sunshine at 76 degrees. Sunday more rain in the forecast. I know for a lot of farmers that are still hoping to finish planting, this is not the forecast you want to hear. Talking weather details with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes or so. And our friend Katie Burgess from EverAg is going to join us on a Thursday as well.
June Dairy Month is truly a season for celebration. The Winnebago County Farm Bureau hosts their annual grilled cheese event on June 1st in Omro. You're invited to the Egan Family Dairy on 9th Street from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This ooey-gooey cheesy celebration is free to attend. Grilled cheese meals will be available for $5 and include a grilled ham and cheese sandwich, milk, fresh cheese curds, custard, and potato chips. Make plans for the grilled cheese event in Omro, Saturday, June 1st. For more details, find their event on the Winnebago County Dairy Promotion Facebook page.
Wisconsin specialty crops. The USDA is really noticing all the production that happens here. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. Last week, I went to UW Stout in Menominee for a press conference with USDA Undersecretary Alexis Taylor. Her job was to announce availability of some funding to promote specialty crop exports. But before we get to that, I wanted to find out what she observed in her travels here in Wisconsin.
Well, it's been a great day in Wisconsin. First, the weather couldn't be better. But we started the morning with a roundtable focus on women in agriculture in Wisconsin, women leaders, from a diverse set of products being grown, a lot of specialty crops. And then we toured the Cranberry Research Facility in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, which was great. And so really got to have a conversation with Wisconsin producers about challenges, about opportunities, about advancing women in the agricultural space, and then see some of the great research that's going on to really support farmers in the cranberry sector here in Wisconsin.
That research you mentioned, what's something that you really bring back from that experience?
Well, I think just overall, meeting with just such a diverse cross-segment of Wisconsin agriculture, it's just how diverse Wisconsin agriculture is. We all think about Wisconsin ag and dairy and cheese, and that's very much a part of the culture here, but there's so much more to Wisconsin agriculture, and it was really fun to be able to hear and meet some of those women producers and women leaders who are helping the sector really advance, and some of the challenges that they have and how they're trying to help really form community to support each other.
And talking about that support, they're finding different ways to use the products, from the byproducts to what we would normally think of being on our kitchen table. They've got some pretty interesting things happening with cranberries, don't they?
They do. So from the roundtable and then the research facility tour, we actually came to UW Stout, which is where we're at right now, and toured their sustainable packaging facility and research program. Got to meet with some students and faculty who are doing research on sustainable packaging, and saw for the very first project is taking cranberry pumice from the juice makers and turning it into sustainable clear film packaging and trying to figure out what content and what consumers are looking for and what consumers are willing to pay for. And so actually one of the things we're doing here was announcing funding, $20 million in funding for five different projects, one of them tied to sustainable packaging. So it was really great to see the cranberry marsh. Sorry, I'm used to saying cranberry bog, but cranberry marshes here in Wisconsin, talk to actually cranberry producers. We're trying to create some additional value for cranberry farmers here.
And you did announce this, Assisting Specialty Crops Exports, ACE. Now, we just talked packaging, but there's a lot more to it. What are the other aspects of this program?
So the initiative has $100 million targeted to it, and we've just announced the first $20 million to focus on five different project areas. We've talked about the sustainable packaging, but there are several others really focused on MRLs, which are maximum residue limits. And that's for a product like a chemical product, a pesticide product. And there are a lot of challenges, unique challenges for specialty crop producers around being able to collect enough data, particularly for really small crops, say like ginseng, that's very unique to Wisconsin, and being able to show in a scientific way how a certain product can be used safely and at what level it can be used. And so we're looking to support some of that research, some of that data collection, and then taking that internationally to trading partners to be able to support their adoption of those science-based standards, and ultimately helping our producers know how to be able to export to markets all over the world, because that's an important part, I think, to having a strong Wisconsin and rural economy.
Building on that economy all the way around, what are some of the other crops that are considered specialty coming right out here in Wisconsin?
One other big one is potatoes. We had some potato industry at our roundtable as well today. And then, and one of the things that we talked some about is Canada. So Canada is actually moving to 95% recyclable, sustainable packaging. They have a kind of a proposal out there. And so we're seeing more and more of this. Well, Wisconsin potatoes are going to Canada today. And so making sure that they can continue to tap into that market, I think, is really important. And that's why we targeted Wisconsin for this announcement. And we're really excited, I think, how these dollars can help support Wisconsin producers to maintain markets, but also hopefully expand into new ones.
Are the dollars aimed towards anybody specific, or is it going to be a little bit of open season if you have the technology, if you have the want to apply for it and take advantage of this program?
So under the five different funding streams for that $20 million we announced today, we will have defined eligible entities who can apply. And there'll be a diverse set to really, depending on that project, whether it's the work on the MRLs or the sustainable packaging, really trying to help advance that. So we're looking for partners, whether they be university partners, private sector partners, to be able to tap into this research, people who understand uniquely the challenges going on in specialty crops in whether that be Wisconsin or Oregon or California or Florida, wherever they may be. And so, we're looking for private sector, university sector partners to apply for some of these funding and to get them out quickly and really deliver results quickly for our specialty crop sector.
And getting this funding out, we're looking farther into a little bit of the marketing of these specialty crops. Is there going to be money available for that as well?
So actually, when we created the ACE program, which is total will be $100 million, we also created the Regional Agriculture Promotion Program, which is $1.2 billion. And there we also partner with industry. They bring proposals to us, and we fund activities to either open new markets, promote U.S. food and agricultural products in other countries, knock down barriers that they're experiencing. We are funding the first tranche of $300 million. We are near finalizing, and that announcement will be coming very soon. And those dollars will have real impact, I think, on our export markets. We have some additional programs that similar to this RAP program, but they come through the Farm Bill. And so one is the Market Access Program. It's very well known. But what we have found from investment in that space is for every $1 we invest in international markets in this these promotional activities, it returns $24 of investment back to the U.S., back to our farmers. I wish, you know, my retirement portfolio had that return of investment year over year, right? And so we know these dollars are highly effective, and so we're really excited about this new tranche that will be announced very soon.
And we're always talking timely because sometimes it feels like we're dragging our feet. But this ACE initiative and this $20 million that you announced, when is that opening up, and when do you think it'll be distributed?
Yeah, so it's open today. The notice of funding opportunity is online. You can go on to USDA FAS, the Foreign Agricultural Services website, usda.fas.gov, and find information there. It will be open for 60 days for people to apply, and then we'll obviously go through those applications, but we hope to make the final announcements on who's getting these $20 million by this fall.
And that was USDA Undersecretary Alexis Taylor at a press conference just last week at UW-Stoughton-Menominee. And she was out promoting the new Assisting Specialty Crops Exports, or ACE, initiative. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Hi, this is Don Rosen. Come wake up with me weekday morning 6 till 9 for local news and timeless hits. We'll also be talking with the folks who make our community what it is. That's weekday mornings here on WRJN, Hometown Radio Refresh. WRJN.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Wisconsin has been documented, happened down by Lake Geneva. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has confirmed. PJ Leash, our University Extension entomologist, expected the cicadas to show up. He explains how the hatch normally works.
The cicadas that we are going to see in some parts of the state last emerged back in 2007. So this is their 17-year anniversary. The juveniles have been developing below ground, feeding on tree roots, and the adults are going to be popping out. Now, these are not going to be super widely distributed. They have been known and documented from some parts of southern Wisconsin, but it's not all across the map. Rather, these cicadas tend to occur in kind of isolated pins on the map. So if you dig into the literature and records, we have some notes from places like Prairie du Chien and East Dubuque, Janesville, Beloit are some notable places. Perhaps the single best spot to see the periodical 17-year cicadas is going to be the Lake Geneva area.
That's exactly where they showed up. PJ Leash, a University Extension entomologist, he said weather plays a major role with these insects.
Now, one thing that I am watching, and it ties in with today's topic of the weather patterns. So if you look back at records from 1990 and 2007, in Wisconsin, most of our periodical cicada activity has occurred during the month of June. But if we stay warm this spring, that might shift their emergence a little bit earlier. It turns out a key factor for these 17-year cicadas to emerge is the soil temperature at a depth of 8 inches below ground, and it has to hit a temperature of 64.5 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow, 8 inches deep. PJ Leese, University Extension entomologist, talking about the cicadas that are coming to Wisconsin. Stumach Ag meteorologist along with us. Did you hear that? 8 inches deep, and what did he say? Temperatures in the 60s?
Yeah, it takes a good warm-up to get that at this time of the year.
Didn't know that we were even that warm 8 inches deep by Lake Geneva.
It must be.
Must be.
The cicadas know.
That's right. They're a better thermometer than the ones we buy, apparently. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're continuing a lot of cleanup efforts around many areas of Wisconsin. Stu, there's now, I think, 6 tornadoes that were confirmed by the National Weather Service. That's in the rearview mirror. Today, not a bad day to try to get that cleanup going. It's cooler outside because rain's going to reappear, isn't it?
Yeah, the next chance is trying to build on in. In fact, a cool front will drop in from the north, and it really looks to me like there are a few showers way out in that western part of Wisconsin. Just east of the Twin Cities and back to the northwest, very scattered, sprinkly showers there. Otherwise, Wisconsin should be staying pretty dry. The north with a small chance of a little rain. And the north, I mean Eau Claire and north, with that small chance of rain here today. Don't expect to see much more than that. There's just scattered rain activity back in North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming as well, as low pressure will push in from the west and that cool front drops further southeast. We all began to talk about some of that rain possibility. And that could happen in west and northwest Wisconsin already late tonight. For the rest of us into the day Friday and Friday night, we'll start to dry it out a bit for the weekend. But that cooler temperature pattern sticks around, and I'd expect weekend highs. I know it's a big weekend for a lot of folks for outdoor plans. They'll be in the upper 60s, very low 70s at best. That's a little bit cooler than normal, but still doesn't sound all that uncomfortable. A little unstable, a scattered rain shower on or off later in the week. Weekend. I'll have those details right after this.
June Dairy Month is right around the corner, and Erica Shade, Community and Schools Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, highlights why Wisconsin dairy is so important and how you can join in on the fun.
Wisconsin has always been the leader of dairy, setting a really high standard for milk quality, conservation, and sustainability. Wisconsin crafts nearly half of the nation's specialty cheese and provides $45.6 billion to the Wisconsin economy, which is more than Florida citrus and Idaho potatoes even combined. Wisconsin provides 157,000 jobs just in the dairy sector, and that's fueling the economy at $86,000 per minute. So we're really into the whole America's Dairyland because of how much our dairy is contributing to the state economy. So we have over 70 events happening throughout the month of June, and we encourage people to discover, taste, celebrate Wisconsin dairy by visiting wisconsindairy.org.
Head to their website to see a map of all of the June Dairy Month celebration scenario.
All righty, Stu, let's talk about what's going on weather-wise today. Paint us a picture, like you said, holiday weekend coming up.
Well, nice and sunny for today. That's not a bad thing for most of us. Of course, more clouds building into western Wisconsin, where they may have that sprinkle this morning. A little more rain possibility there later in the day. Otherwise, bright and nice, mid and upper 70s. There could be an 80 in the west with the southwest winds at 5 to 10. Clear east tonight. Clouds develop in the west. There may even be some light rain far northwest Wisconsin late tonight. Temps in the mid and upper 50s with southeast winds at 5. Tomorrow, most mostly cloudy. Showers, could be some thunderstorms. I wouldn't expect a big threat of severe weather, you know, spring thunderstorm possibilities that lasts into Friday night. 1/4 inch amounts of rain. Some folks in central Wisconsin may see more. Mid-70s tomorrow, low 70s or upper 60s Saturday with some sun, Pam. And again, maybe a little afternoon shower Sunday or later Monday, and temperatures just a little cooler than normal in the upper 60s.
All right. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with the weather details you're looking for. Talk text line open for you to contribute. 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. This update is sponsored by UW Credit Union. For every stage of life, UW Credit Union is here for every you. Every Sunday home game, 9 lucky kids ages 6 to 13 will appear on the field during the national anthem. Enter a child for their chance to have their major league moment today by visiting your local participating PNC Bank. Join UW Credit Union at uwcu.org. Insured by NCUA.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much, I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
CBS News Brief. Severe weather swept parts of Texas a night after at least 5 people were killed by a tornado that swept through Greenfield, Iowa with 136 mile an hour. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
The atmosphere has just been charged up, and it's been all over the country. It's been in the Northeast. It's been in the South. It's been in the plains. Usually this time of year, it's the plains that get absolutely targeted, but we've seen these storms roll all the way across, and that has been something that's been unique.
At least 9 people killed when a stage came crashing down at a political rally in Mexico. The BBC's David Willis.
The incident occurred at a baseball field near the northern Mexico city of Monterrey. High winds are thought to have caused part of the stage at a campaign event to collapse.
Former Republican presidential hopeful Nikki Haley's made her choice.
I will be voting for Trump.
She says she believes the former president will secure the southern border and has the backs of U.S. allies. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Well,
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A U.S. House committee takes up the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act this week. Parents of children harmed by social media say greater protections are badly needed and long overdue. Deb Schmill's daughter died of an accidental overdose after she was bullied online.
It's going to be very upsetting to the parents, to so many people in this country who want to see this happen. They want to see big tech regulated. They don't want to see kids dying every day.
Tech companies are fighting sweeping change, citing free speech rights. All over Wisconsin, this year's Click It or Take It campaign is underway. Memorial Day weekend is our unofficial start of summer, and every year, agencies and departments increase patrols around this time. All drivers and passengers are required by Wisconsin law to wear seatbelts while they travel. Click It or Take It runs through June 2nd. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media.
Packers wrapping up OTAs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Yeah, the Packers wrapping up their first week of OTA practices today. They'll be back at it next week after Memorial Day. They've had a rash of torn pectoral muscle injuries in the weight room. Right tackle Zach Tom, tight end Tucker Kraft, and even Matt LaFleur suffering torn pec muscles while bench pressing, each requiring surgery.
Yeah, Tuck's going to be out until training camp. You know, hopefully he's back by training camp. If not, it should be early on. He's on the Matt LaFleur plan right now.
The All-NBA first team announced, and for the sixth time in a row, the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo making the list. Baseball, Brewers losing 1-0 last night in Miami in a pitcher's duel that was over in an hour and 57 minutes. Willie Adames says he had a closed-door meeting with Pat Murphy.
Me and Murph, we had a really good conversation for like 20 minutes. I told him, I said, you know, like, I've been great mentally because I've been hitting the ball hard. It's just like you say, you know, they haven't been dropping, but if you lose, it makes it worse, you know?
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 74 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 55. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms with a high of 71. On Saturday, sunshine, high of 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
When it comes to Wisconsin sports, WRJN has you covered. All this season, WRJN is pleased to be your new home for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hear all the games home and away on WRJN. Of course, we'll follow the Bucks through the playoffs and bring you Badgers and Packers when those seasons start. WRJN is also home to one of our state's top sports reporters, Mike Clemens, with his reports every hour, now sponsored by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Learn more at paysbig.com. Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and WRJN, great partners for hometown sports.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 17th, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz signed an omnibus democracy reform bill, which included the Minnesota Voting Rights Act. On the heels of 2023's Democracy for the People Act and restoring voting rights to 55,000 of its formerly incarcerated citizens. The new omnibus bill funds new election and cybersecurity equipment for municipalities, makes several election administration changes, but most importantly, establishes the Minnesota Voting Rights Act. Minnesota joins New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, California, Illinois, Connecticut, New York, and Virginia in replacing protections stripped from the federal 1965 Voting Rights Act by the U.S. Supreme Court. Among the Minnesota VRA provisions are prohibiting voter discrimination on the basis of race, color, or language, protecting voters from disinformation, giving private citizens the right to bring voting rights court actions, expanding on-campus polling places for students, ensuring Native American citizens can register and vote unhindered, and helping the unhoused to register. This follows 2023's Democracy for the People Act, establishing automatic voter registration, creating a standing mail-in voting list, pre-registering 16 and 17-year-olds, and requiring more disclosure of political advertising funders. Governor Tim Walz said in a statement, "Democracy thrives when everyone's voice is heard." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together.
Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
She's sweeter than a glass of chocolate milk and louder than a morning rooster. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You know what's sweet? Driving in this morning, seeing a beautiful clear sky and a full moon. You know who else is sweet? Katie Burgess, broker analyst with EverAg. She's our guest coming up in about 15 minutes. Glad you're back along with us, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Youngke. Again, thank you so much to all you folks that tried to use our talk text line yesterday. As you can imagine, here in the Madison area, a lot of the technology that we lean on was missing yesterday morning. So if you want to share more on your storm weather experiences, you can use our talk text line. That's calling it or texting it, 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Now, the good news today, we've got partly sunny skies on the way. Everybody should see temperatures in the mid to upper 70s. Unfortunately, tomorrow, more rain in the forecast starting tomorrow afternoon. Saturday, sunshine 76 before showers return again on Sunday. So, like I said, feel free to share what happened in your backyard over the past 24 hours' time. Today is the 23rd day of May. I thought some of these historical perspectives are kind of interesting considering what we just went through. So on this day, back in 1878, three different counties experienced really devastating tornadoes. They said that storm accounts showed three separate tornadoes that touched down, causing damage to farm buildings, land, and livestock. Two people died as a result of their injuries and many other sustained wounds as well. They say the property loss, now remember, this is back in 1878, estimated at $63,000 in loss in Iowa County, $43,000 of loss in Dane County, $23,000 loss in Jefferson County. That's because of the tornadoes that touched down on this day back in 1878. Here's another one that'll kind of surprise you. On this day in 1854, the first railroad reached Madison. The Milwaukee and Mississippi Railroad finally reached Madison, connecting the city with Milwaukee. They had thousands of people that gathered to witness the ceremonial arrival of that first train, had a big picnic on the Capitol grounds for people that had made the trip. And how was that trip? Now, remember, we're talking from Milwaukee to Madison on a train. Cutting edge technology at that time. And it took all those passengers 7 hours to make the train ride from Milwaukee to Madison. Wow. Think about that today. And happy birthday to actress Joan Collins. Holy man, she's 91. Drew Carey celebrating his 66th birthday today. And now you know. Well, talking about technology, Wisconsin agriculture is all about it. Gone are the days when you should think of a farmer as somebody that's in bibs with a straw cap and a toothpick in their pocket. That is not Wisconsin agriculture today. And Stephanie Hoff's got an excellent example of technology on today's dairy operations. You know, there was a time when cows were milked twice a day based on the human schedule. morning and night. Well, technology of today has allowed us to develop where the cow can decide when she wants to be milked. And what does that mean for milk production? It was big conversation during the recent UW Dairy Innovation Hub conversation, and Stephanie Hoff was there.
Erin Kamen joins us. She's a Madison native, educated at UW-Platteville before earning a master's degree from UW-Madison. Her love for animals started in the 4-H, and she's continuing that love through research. Erin is looking for the sweet spot for a milking frequency.
So there's been previous research in this area using what I consider a conventional milking parlor where you bring all the cows up at once. And so from this research, they found when moving from two milkings to three or more milkings a day, you're going to see an increase in milk production by those cows. Further research has found that we can target the early lactation stage for cows, so right after she's calving. And by increasing her milking frequency during that time, we can then have a carryover effect during the rest of her lactation where we can drop her back down to that standard two milkings per day that the farm does, which helps preserve the labor that's needed for farmers.
Changing one step in her milking in that stage in her life will have lasting benefits for the farm, is that?
Yep, exactly. And so that just helps farmers get the benefit of that increased milking frequency, but not having to sink so much labor into it throughout her whole milking lactation.
This was focused on automatic milking systems. Are you seeing that's a growing technology on the farm where research was needed in that space?
Yeah, so the automatic milking systems, or robots I like to call them, they are definitely a growing interest that I've seen across different farms, and everyone wants to understand, you know, how can we use them better and how can we implement these into farms to make things easier for the farmers, but also easier for the cows. And so this is where our research was then stepping into the milking frequency work, where traditionally, like I said, it's mostly been conventional milking parlors that have been used for these studies. So we wanted to look at the effects of using an automatic milking system and see if it's the same.
So you found one of the pros is a frequent milking is that you do have higher milk production. There are some cons that you did find too in regard to some risk.
With this study, we had two different milking frequencies that we looked at. So we had three times a day versus six times a day. And so that three times a day was looking at possibly like an average for these farms. Whereas 6X, or the six times a day, that's where we're really pushing those cows and we're going and fetching them because they're not going to walk in typically on their own for that. And so with those cows being milked more frequently, we saw that our older cows, they may be having more of a metabolic challenge, where we saw in our blood work that we collected some signs that they may be having to use more of their fat reserves in order to keep the energy they need to produce the milk that they are.
Is the project finished?
Yeah, the project's all done. We're just working on getting the paper ready for publishing.
So then what's that final advice to farmers based on your research findings?
So I would never go to a farm and tell them they need to milk their cows six times a day. That's just not, it's not really going to work, I think, just with the labor needed and also adding that pressure to the cows being milked so frequently. But I would suggest to farmers that maybe they do consider increasing the milking frequency even during like the first 30 days of lactation. We found that you would, from previous research and from this research, there would be a carryover effect. This would give them the benefit of having the additional milk produced throughout the lactation that they can sell, but also targeting their labor to a specific time point. And in this study, we saw that there was an increase in 9 kilograms of milk per day. So that's almost 20 pounds of milk for these cows. Yes, there is the added labor needed at the start, but if you get that carryover, I think it would be beneficial to your farm.
Erin Kamen joining us. After finishing up a research project with the UW Dairy Innovation Hub, she found if you temporarily increase the milking frequency on your fresh cows, you'll see a lasting carryover effect of higher milk production. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The grilling season officially begins Memorial Weekend, and Bavaria Sausage is ready for you. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here to announce that Bavaria Sausage has expanded their store hours. They are now open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7 p.m., and Saturday, 9 until 1. That's fabulous news for folks that want to stop on by, pick up some of their favorites for the grilling weekend, and don't forget. Yet they're also kicking off their brat fry season this Friday, May 24th, from 11 until 2. Now listen, just because you don't live in the Madison area and you can't swing by that retail location at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, you can shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week online. All of the great old world flavors you're looking for your grilling experience, available online. That's BavariaSausage.com. And don't forget, get in line along with me this Friday from 11 until 2 for the first brat fry of the season at Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Well, Wisconsin's seen its fair share of USDA officials over the past couple of weeks. At the top of the hour, you heard Jill Welke talking with USDA Undersecretary Alexis Taylor. Well, today, U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is going to be visiting Wisconsin. This morning, he is going to be up in Kewaunee County at Dairy Dreams Farm, which is owned and operated by the Pagel family in Casco. He, along with Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski, are going to have a roundtable discussion with farmers and others. Vilsack is expected to make an announcement about a new program through USDA that will lower costs, create new income opportunities, and increase competition for producers and rural businesses. Of course, we'll have all the details for you as that story unfolds. Just keep following us, MidwestFarmReport.com. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning, not real exciting, I'll tell you. Right now, December corn down 2 at 482. November beans are down a penny and a half right now at 1216. July wheat's down 8 and a half, 684 a bushel. Barrel cheese on Wednesday dropped 3 cents to 203. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a half at 184. And double A butter stood still at 311 and a quarter per pound. The June Class 3 milk in Chicago that goes to cheese down 15 cents, currently at 1980 a hundredweight. The July Class 3 milk down 11, 1976 a hundredweight. All right, we'll take a quick break. Coming up next, an exciting conversation with our friend Katie Burgess, one of the broker analysts with EverAg. Stand by for that.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
One, two, three.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
As much as you desire, don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store. Then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
join this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
But we're going to get her on the line here in just a little bit. Stand by for that. Katie Burgess, of course, is with the EverEgg folks, and she is in the Madison area. I'm just telling her right now, call the studio so that we can get some dairy update. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. June Dairy Weekend officially commences this Saturday. Yep, Memorial Weekend. That's when Greene County is in charge of introducing you to some of the dairy activities that we're looking forward to. Of course, you can find all the dairy activities that are coming up around our area. WisconsinDairy.org, or that one particular, GreenCountyAgChest.com. Katie Burgess from EverEgg joining us live this morning, and I appreciate her quick actions to pivot. Thanks, Katie. Let's get right to it. Milk production figures that came out earlier this week, a little bit of a surprise. Wisconsin milk goes up, but everybody else is flat. How's the market been taking that?
Yes, the market was anticipating that milk production would be down across the U.S., and so seeing it more or less flat came in as a bit of a surprise. Also, as we look at milk production in the Midwest as a whole, for in South Dakota, or Wisconsin was up. South Dakota had a really strong showing yet again. And so the Midwest saw the best year-over-year growth since 2021. And as a result, when the market got those results, you know, prices had been going up, up, up over the past couple of weeks, and they fell pretty quickly in the aftermath of this report.
Now, why, though? I mean, again, give us a method to the madness. What are traders thinking?
Yeah. No, I would say that some of the folks out there in the market that, you know, in the futures market, there's lots of different buyers and sellers. And to me, as I was picking up kind of the buzz out in the marketplace, I think there were some people that were just really concerned about what milk supply was going to look like. And so seeing the milk production report, even though it was still a negative number, it wasn't as negative as people thought. And so it just took the wind out of the sails a little bit. And so my message for dairy producers out there would be that milk prices are still really good. June milk is trading at $19.84 as of this morning, so a much better price than we've seen really all year, but not as high as it was trading earlier this week or earlier last week for sure.
Well, your point's well taken. Capitalize on it with risk management plans as much as you can. What about when we play out a little bit more into the warmer weather, Katie? The other thing that we can't deny, the number of dairy cattle that are out there. I mean, given year-ago figures, you can't ignore the, what, six digits or five digits that we lost?
Right. Cow numbers are down in a big way year-over-year, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. I've been talking to dairy producers who are looking to buy some more cows or buy some more heifers. And if you can even find them, they are super expensive right now. A big part of that is, you know, so many dairy producers have been breeding some of their cows to beef, to produce those dairy beef cross calves, which they've been getting really good money for. And I don't see that changing anytime soon. So there just aren't that many heifers out there. So at EverEgg, our expectation is that milk production could turn maybe slightly positive later this year, like up a few tenths of a percent. But we're not expecting any of the, you know, 2% milk production growth that had been common for the better part of a decade.
Katie Burgess, one of the broker analysts with EverEgg, kind enough to join us live on a Thursday morning. I appreciate her. And you can find her and all the rest of the team online at ever.ag. What about demand for the product we're producing out there, Katie? Give me the butter story. My goodness, that's crazy.
I know. Butter has been a bright spot. We continue to make year-to-date highs in that marketplace. And so what we've seen so far is that demand for butter has been pretty good. A big part of that is that retailers have been promoting butter pretty heavily throughout 2024. And so that's been able to help keep that market supported at what are record high prices for this time of year. And so that's been good. We've also, on the demand front, seen the retailers start promoting cheese now a little bit more too, which I think part of the reason we got this uptick in the market. And so from a consumer demand perspective, we're definitely still a little bit concerned with, you know, consumers dealing with inflation and trying to decide what to spend their money on. But thankfully, as retailers have been promoting dairy products a little bit to get people in the stores, that has resulted in some better uptake.
Are we seeing much for export activity?
We are. I also think that exports have been a big part of the cheese run up here. We had really low cheese prices back in March, and I think we booked some export sales. We also had record exports in March. I think the numbers for April and May, when we get the data, are probably going to be very strong as well. But as a watch factor, you know, now all of a sudden our cheese has gotten a lot more expensive, and so I'm not as confident we'll have such strong sales in the second half. But at least we're moving a lot of product in the export channels, it seems like, right now.
Very good. Katie Burgess, you are a sweetheart. Thanks so much for joining us, kiddo. Enjoy your day, and thanks for the quick action jump on air with me.
Thanks, Pam.
All right. Katie Burgess joining us live this morning. Thank goodness she's a quick study and called in. If you ever want to find Katie or the rest of the crew, you can pop on over to their website, ever.ag. And, of course, I will see you again tomorrow morning, same time, same channel.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Hi, this is Don Rosen. Here's a great new way for Racine to wake up weekday mornings. Local news and timeless hits. We'll also have local sports, weather, some laughs, and we'll talk to the folks who make our community great. So come join me weekday mornings, 6 till 9 a.m. here on WRJN. We're hometown radio. We're fresh. WRJN.
Would you be willing to pay extra for your food if the packaging was more sustainable? That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Food packaging is a major contributor to the solid waste volume produced in the U.S., and a lot of it is not environmentally friendly. Packaging industry experts discussed more sustainable solutions during a recent Farm Foundation forum. Kevin Kelly, CEO of Emerald Packaging in California, says some food retailers were told that better packaging for lettuce would cost another 2 cents per head.
Evidently, 2 cents is too much because the retailers have so far made it very clear they don't want to absorb that, or they don't want to pass it on to customers, even though they're passing on a lot of other price increases to customers.
Kelly says more sustainable food packaging options are available, but with added expense. He says ideally that added cost would be shared across the food chain, but he says someone needs to figure that out soon.
So what is going to happen is far worse than what might happen otherwise, which is governments are stepping in with regulation. They're stepping in with bans, and they're stepping in with extended producer responsibility programs.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Another night of severe weather in the central U.S. A suspected tornado tore a hole in a